Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
This verse is continuing the theme which has been described in the previous verses, that Krishna cannot be understood by any material name. That's why I'm saying if this is actually spiritual sound vibration, so if we pronounce it properly, then that's also more accurate, more correct. Now, the point which is being stressed here is that by the senses or the mind, Krishna cannot be understood. Knowledge which is acquired by the senses, that is called pratyaksha. This means knowledge, aksha means the eyes, literally it means the eyes. But that, on a broader sense, it means by all the senses. There are karmendriya and gyanendriya, two different kinds of senses. One is for activities and one is for acquiring knowledge. So the senses for acquiring knowledge, they acquire knowledge by touching, smelling, tasting, feeling, seeing. These are the senses by which we acquire knowledge. These are called gyanendriya. So according to Vedic analysis, this is the most limited form of knowledge, because in the conditioned state we have imperfect senses. Therefore, we can't see, for instance, what is on the other side of that hill. And even if there wasn't a hill there, what's that distance, we would not be able to see very clearly. So a better way to get knowledge than pratyaksha is paroksha, means taking knowledge from those who know. That means someone who has seen what I haven't seen, he can describe to me. Paroksha means that which has been seen by somebody else's eyes. So if I ask the farmer who lives on the other side, what's on the other side, then he can tell me. Then there's even more subtle level of knowledge called aparoksha. That means that which has is not seen by any normal eyes. That means we're approaching the spiritual platform. But even within the spiritual platform, there are gradations of knowledge. Vedanti tat tatva vedas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. The levels of understanding the Absolute Truth are three, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So even beyond the first stage of spiritual realization, there is another stage. That stage of knowledge is called aprakrita, totally non-material. Aprakrita. That's prakrita is another ISKCON word. Prakrita, aprakrita. It's an ISKCON word, it's not a Sanskrit word. Prakrita. Yes, this is not Sanskrit word. So, aprakrita means it's fully beyond the modes of material nature. Then the highest standard of understanding, that is understanding of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called adhoksha jagyan. So this point is being stressed throughout this series of verses. Daksha is expressing his astonishment at having the darshan of the Supreme Lord. Daksha is not a pure devotee of Krishna, but he's an elevated person within this universe. He has some service to do for Krishna. But although he has service to do, it's still mixed with his own material desires. Those who have material desires to dominate the universe or enjoy this material world, but still have some, there's still some desire to serve Krishna, they may take post as a demigod. So the demigods, they are generally not pure devotees, but they are devotees. They are called sakama bhaktas. They're devotees with some personal desires also. Whereas a pure devotee is called nishkam bhakta. He has no personal desire. So Daksha is expressing his astonishment at perceiving the form of the Lord directly in front of him, that Krishna has come personally to be before him. Such a vision may not even be granted to great devotees. Just like we see, Narad Muni, he only briefly was able to have a darshan of the Supreme Lord. Then Krishna denied him, that you're not going to see me now, not anymore. You'll have to wait to see me. So this is, sometimes Krishna shows his mercy to devotees by not being present before them. As Krishna explained to Narad Muni, by not being present before you, I will increase your desire to see me. That Krishna explained to the gopis also, that when Krishna vanished from their presence during the Rasa dance, the gopis were much distraught. They were much unhappy. And when Krishna eventually came back, they asked him, why do you do such things? Krishna explained that sometimes I withdraw myself from my devotees' presence just to increase their desire to see me. So sometimes people ask us, have you seen God? So this question may be answered in different ways. Krishna himself explains that he doesn't show himself very easily, even to his devotees, just to increase their desire to see him more and more and more. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say that I'm not seeing Krishna and I'm still alive. So this means that I don't have any love for Krishna, because how could I maintain my life without seeing Krishna? Now, this point of seeing Krishna, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put this in the correct perspective. He used to say, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that God will want to see you. In India, we find many people who tell us they have seen Krishna. I saw Krishna in my dream, or I had a vision of Krishna, or my grandmother talks to Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't be so much anxious to see Krishna for your own sense gratification. I shall see Krishna and I shall be happy. Where is Krishna? Come here, Krishna. I want to see you. Just like there are some devotees, their songs are very famous in India. They're singing, come here, Giridhari. But the real devotional attitude is, let me serve the servants of Giridhari. No demand on Krishna that you have to come and dance before me and I will enjoy seeing you. No, rather we shall dance for Krishna, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are his servants. Ekale Ishva Krishna Arshabhritta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Kare Nitta. Krishna is the one only Supreme Overlord. Ekale Isha. He is the one Ishvara. Ishvara means, in Sanskrit dictionary, two main meanings are given. One means the Lord or the Master. Another is one who causes things to be done, one who gets things done. So Srila Prabhupada used to translate this word as controller, which synthesizes these two meanings. Krishna is the supreme controller, and everyone else is his servant. And as he causes them to dance, so everyone is dancing. So he is like the puppet master, and we are the puppets. So our duty is to work according to his desire. Then if he reveals, as and when he reveals himself to us, we shall be very happy to see him. Otherwise, a devotee always lives with Krishna, whether he sees him or not. The highest teaching of spiritual understanding is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Service in separation from Krishna. That even though you don't see Krishna, just by meditating upon him intensely, you are always in the presence of Krishna. So devotee doesn't demand to see. But even if someone demands to us, show me God. So many atheists, they come, where is God? Show me God. As if God is some servant or dog and we can just call, come here, come here. But actually, even if we show you God, we can show you God. But do you have the eyes to see? Can you understand? Here is God. And you'll say, no, this is a brass-made statue. Actually, this is God. You can see and I can see, but you can't see. Seeing, real seeing means Hashyanti Jnana Chakshusha, seeing through the eyes of knowledge. Just like a scientist may say something to me and I may say, well, I don't believe it. Show me. Just like the existence of subatomic particles. I may ask the scientist, show me. And he will say, okay. And he'll take me into the laboratory and make the experiment. Actually, you can't see subatomic particles even with the greatest microscope. But their presence can be ascertained by the effect of, there's a certain experiment by which subatomic particles are produced in a certain gas chamber. So there is some effect, there is some change of color. And a trained atomic physicist will say, yes, this is the proof of subatomic particles existing. And he will produce so many books filled with complex mathematical equations to support that this experiment shows the existence of subatomic particles. So then he will say, see, I showed you subatomic particles. And I may say, I didn't see, but he saw, and I saw, but I just saw some color changing, and he saw subatomic particles, because he saw through the eyes of knowledge. In other words, seeing doesn't just mean seeing, but it means we have to be trained to understand what we are seeing. So many examples of that. Why do you go to the doctor? You have some swelling in your throat, so I can see it, everyone else can see it. But when the doctor sees it, he says, oh, mumps, one disease. So, usually children, they get that. You know that? The ladies must know. So, I see and you see, but what he sees much more. He sees authoritatively. Here the word is given, nirupitam, ascertained. Nirupitam, important word. Means it's ascertained, it's sure. Those who know what they're talking about, they've ascertained this. So if you're not so much trained, how will you understand? Still, Krishna is giving us facility to understand, even in the most undeveloped stage. If you're not ready to understand Krishna, here is the deity Krishna, then you understand God in a more simple way. Actually, to understand Krishna as the deity is very, very simple. That God means all-powerful, so if he wants, he can manifest himself in material elements. But if you are faithless, foolish, if you are faithless and foolish, then you can see God in another way. See God in nature. Rasoham apsu kauntaya prapasmi shashi suryoho pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke paurisham nirishu. See God like this. God is telling, you see me like this. You have no faith in my eternal transcendental form, but you drink water, so that taste, that is me. You see the sun and the moon, or you see the light of the sun and the moon, you may not see the sun. So that light is Krishna. Everything is a representation of Krishna. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachahang teshu vastita. Krishna is manifest as the universe. So this is the first beginning to understand him. The sound in ether, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, the ability, if anyone has an extraordinary ability, whatever ability is there, that is coming from Krishna, that is a representation of Krishna. So try to understand God like this, if you can't come any further. And eventually you may come to understand that God is not only in the universe, but he's also beyond the universe. That requires more purification. This form of Krishna that is not possible to understand by the impurified senses. So, at least we can begin to understand in relationship with nature. But those who are devotees, they don't stop, they don't get stuck at the first level. Certainly the form of Krishna deserves to be seen by the devotees. By studying these verses, we can understand what an advanced level it is to be able to worship the deity, chant the names of Krishna, discuss the original personal form of Krishna, worship the deity, chant the names of Krishna directly, discuss the personal form of Krishna. We see even pious, learned followers of the Vedic literatures, even for them to understand Krishna is not very easy, even though they chant the Vedic mantras and follow the Vedic principles of civilized life. So how fortunate we are to have this opportunity to engage in the service of Krishna. Immediately come to the transcendental platform, which is normally only achieved after many, many lifetimes. Mangtayo viapicharena bhakti yogena sivate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. By engaging in Krishna's service directly, then all the lower stages are automatically overcome. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Do you elaborate a more about
Like
distinguish between this aparoksha and aparakrita.
Actually Prabhupada explained it a little differently in different ways. I'll show you if you want afterwards. Yeah. He explained it a few times and a little bit different each time. Sometimes he explained it like that. Prakrita. A prakrita.
But you should stand it in more hands than teachers.
You should just learn. It's not when you see.
I need teacher.
But no, it's not, you don't need a teacher. You just look. You see, look at the back of the book. Right, the vowels should be pronounced as follows. Here it says, "All right, a a e e." This is what they do in the schools in India. Right, you had this. A a e e u u. You just learn. It's, you hear and you repeat.
Maybe I
will translate. All right, about the pronunciation also. At least this much. At least this much is a very simple thing to learn. Actually, it's a very simple thing to learn. Other things might be a little more difficult for you, just like ta ta. The two, well, actually, the ta 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 ta. There's four kinds of. What do you call them? I had this experience in when I was learning Bengali. I used to get my tus and does mixed up, and people actually can't understand. If you say the wrong one, people don't understand what you're talking about. Anyway, at least this is a very simple thing to learn. A, a, I, I. Just like you'll find the word aprakrita is a, short a, so you pronounce it a. Then pr, then a, there's long a. So it becomes apra, not apra, apra. Then k, ri, there's not long ri, it's short, so. And then short a at the end, so it becomes aprakrita, not aprakrita. Yeah, that's right. All right, any other question?
Whatever we see in this word is combination of three modes of material nature, such statement. So the question is, what is connection between these three modes of material nature and these basic elements like air, fire, water?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is basic elements, and mm-hmm. it's also the statement that everything is combination of these three modes of material nature. Mm-hmm. What is connection?
The three modes of material nature, they work throughout the elements. Just like you'll find a tree is composed of different elements. Just in tree, water and earth would be predominant. But one tree maybe is considered more in the mode of ignorance, and another tree is considered more in the mode of goodness. A tree which gives no nice flowers or fruits, just like in Northern Europe, there's so many pine trees. Pine tree, just like you see all of Sweden, it's all pine trees. They make matches from it, they make paper, it produces no nice fruits or flowers. So another tree, like a mango tree, which produces a very nice fruit, that's considered more in the mode of goodness. Or among the birds, the swan is considered better than the crow, it's more in the mode of goodness. So the modes of material nature, they pervade the material elements. And under the influence of the Supersoul and his appointed deputies, the demigods, everything is arranged for the bewilderment of the conditioned living souls. So the different elements are not of themselves. It's not that one is in the mode of goodness and one is in the mode of passion, but rather the three modes pervade them. The basic condition of this material world is one of ignorance. Actually, mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, it's all ignorance. But there are different gradations. Anything else?
Would you share with us your moral realization or experience that deities are not, he said, not my practical realization, not only philosophical.
Now what's the difference between practical and philosophical? For the non-devotees, philosophy is something, just something they talk about. But it has no link with reality, because it's just a bunch of mental speculation. But when the hearing is correct, then hearing itself brings realization. As far as realization, that is expressed by our service. The sign of realization is that we enthusiastically engage in Krishna's service. When we hear that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and Krishna has very kindly agreed to appear in this deity form, so that I can serve him, then the sign of our realization will be that we enthusiastically engage in his service. So you all have realization. Everyone, every devotee who's engaged in Krishna's service, they have realization. Otherwise, why are we doing this? It may not be full realization, but it's full enough that we've put our lives into the service of Krishna. Sometimes that realization, by Krishna's grace, we get what we call a strong realization. But that when we get more realization, when it's manifested in our mind, what is that realization? It's not that we suddenly realize something which is not written in Prabhupada's books. Rather, we get more realization of what is already there. Just like devotee may say, and suddenly I realized that the deity is actually Krishna. So that we're realizing, otherwise why are we dressing him, feeding him, bowing down before him? But sometimes Krishna reveals himself to us more. And we have more realization that, oh yes, actually, this is Krishna. So what is realization? That's also philosophy, not separate from philosophy. Philosophy is so important. Everything is based on philosophy. There is sentiment and there is philosophy. Both things are there. But sentiment without philosophy will not stand. On the very high platform, philosophy is forgotten. Then a devotee, by the influence of yoga maya, simply thinks, this is Krishna, my son or my friend. But on the platform of sadhana, when we're going up and up in Krishna consciousness, then our solid foundation is philosophical understanding. Sadhana, sadhana. Not that there's no sentiment. Krishna conscious means to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. So both things must be there. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.